We're in Numbers chapter 7 tonight. It's been a month since we've been in the book of Numbers. And Numbers 7 is the longest chapter in the Bible, with the exception of Psalm 119, if you want to count that as a chapter. So what I've done is I've provided you an outline on two sides of an 8.5 by 14 with all the verses, all 89 verses of Numbers chapter 7. And I've put some notes above each of the sections because there is a lot of repetition in this passage. And in order to focus you on certain things that we're learning throughout different parts of the chapter, even in the repetition, I've given you some notes. So follow along as we read tonight in Numbers chapter 7. Let me say that Numbers 7 describes a unique event in Israel's history. There was a 12-day festival in which gifts were brought to the tent of meeting. Some of those gifts were going to be used for the permanent ministry in the tabernacle. Some of them were going to be used immediately for certain offerings and sacrifices in the tabernacle. The leaders first brought gifts to the tent of meeting. Then everybody in Israel, tribe by tribe, brought gifts to the tent of meeting. Those gifts were ceremonially brought by the heads of their tribes, the same people who had numbered them back in Numbers chapter 2. In fact, those gifts come in the same order as the children of Israel were numbered back in Numbers chapter 2. Now, look for the following things in this passage as we read it. One, this passage emphasizes the importance and the function of our giving in worship. And you'll see that emphasized in verse 3 and then 13 through 17. As the first gift is given, there are certain things that are told you there that will help you appreciate the function and the importance of giving in worship. The giving is repeated in detail 12 times in this passage. And we know that the Bible does not contain vain repetition. So when we come to repetition like that, we have to ask the question, why is the repetition there? Why is God using the exact same words, describing the exact same gifts 12 times? Obviously, God's a good teacher. He knows how to make a point. And what do teachers do when they want to make a point? They say it over and over again. And so when God does that, he's drawing attention to something. And in this case, he's drawing attention to the importance of giving and the function of giving in worship. Secondly, as you look at this passage, look at how it describes the extraordinary privilege of meeting with God. The very name of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, indicates that it is a place appointed for a special meeting with God, for God's people to meet with God. And that high privilege is highlighted in this passage over and over. All of the gifts that are going to the tent of meeting are designed to enable the children of Israel to do what? Fellowship with God. And so the priority of communing with God, of fellowshipping with God, of meeting with God, of drawing near to God, of engaging with God, of having an appointment with the living God, are highlighted in this passage. Thirdly, as you look at this passage, notice how, and you see this especially in verse 89. In fact, the last three things I'm going to tell you to look for is all be found in verse 89. It's a summarizing verse for the whole passage because it indicates the fulfillment of a promise that God had given to Moses back in Exodus chapter 25. Remember when he said, Moses, when you build this tabernacle, I'm going to come meet with you in the tent of meeting at the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm going to speak my word to you. Well, that happens in Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. Moses goes into that tent of meeting, and God comes and speaks to him. And think of the vital importance of the things that Moses would hear from God in that tent of meeting through the long, long travels through the wilderness. He would be instructed by God in what he is to do. And so his hearing of the word of God was going to be vital for the well-being of the children of Israel. Fourth, This passage speaks of the necessity of cleansing, of pardon, and forgiveness. And you see that also in verse 89. But you also see it, go back and you can look at verses 13 to 17 again, and then each of the repeated. Notice the sacrifices that are given. They're sacrifices for sin and for peace. And then what is spoken of in verse 89? The mercy seat. Why was the mercy seat necessary? Because the children of Israel needed mercy. Why did they need mercy? They were sinners. God in His mercy made a provision for the forgiveness of their sins. And so this passage emphasizes the need for forgiveness. Fifth and finally, we see something of the blessing of God and the receiving of the blessing of God, again in verse 89. As Moses goes into that tent of meeting, think of it, friends, he sees what? The Ark of the Covenant. And seeing the Ark of the Covenant is going to remind Moses of at least four things about God. Now, it was my intention to highlight all five of these things for you. I think it's going to take me 20 minutes to read this passage. And God's words are more important than my words, so we're going to read all of God's words, and if there's any time left, you'll hear from me commenting on God's words. But we're going to read all of God's word. If we don't have much time left, I'm just going to zero in on the first point and the fifth point, okay? So let's start reading God's word, and before we do, let's pray. Lord, this is your word, and you mean it to teach us, encourage us, instruct us, equip us for every good work. Grant that we would hear it with belief in our hearts, in you, in your gospel, in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God. Now, on the day that Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle, he anointed it and consecrated it with all its furnishings and the altar and all its utensils. He anointed them and consecrated them also. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of their fathers' households, made an offering. They were the leaders of the tribes. They were the ones who were over the numbered men. When they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders and an ox for each one, then they presented them before the tabernacle. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Accept these things from them, that they may be used in the service of the tent of meeting. And you shall give them to the Levites, to each man according to his service." So Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. 2 carts and 4 oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon, according to their service. And 4 carts and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, according to their service, under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But he did not give any to the sons of Kohath, because theirs was the service of the holy objects which they carried on the shoulder. I cannot resist but to stop and say, why? You know why, don't you? The Ark of the Covenant was not to be carried on oxen and a cart. It was to be carried on poles. The Kohathites had the responsibility, so they weren't given oxen and a cart. Years later, what did David do? He put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart with oxen. And the oxen stumbled, and a man named Uzzah reached his hand out to try and keep the Ark from falling, and God struck him dead. And David got mad about it, because he said, look, that man was just trying to keep the Ark of the Covenant from falling, and I was just trying to bring the Ark up to Jerusalem. Why would you do this to me? And then, of course, the next time that you see David bringing the Ark up the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem, how's it being carried? On poles. Well, David had disobeyed the word of God. He disobeyed the word of God as to how the ark was to be carried. And so even in this just passing comment, the Lord is preparing the way for that glorious story. This is one example of how in a passage that may seem so mundane, there is deep and rich truth for the learning of the people of God. But that's all I can say about that. Let's keep on going through. The leaders offered the dedication offering for the altar when it was anointed. So the leaders offered their offering before the altar. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Let them present their offering, one leader each day for the dedication of the altar." Now, what we'll find now is 12 dedications, 12 offerings made on 12 consecutive days, and all of the words are the same in every offering. All of the offerings are the same except for the name of the leader and the tribe that are making the offering. This is deliberate. Listen closely. Now the one who presented his offering on the first day was Nashan, the son of Aminadab, of the tribe of Judah. And his offering was one silver dish whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering. One gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull, one ram, one male lamb, 1 year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs, 1 year old. This was the offering of Nashan, the son of Aminadab. Just note this progression as you see it over and over. Fine flour for a grain offering. The bull, the ram, the lamb for the burnt offering. The male goat for the sin offering. And for the sacrifice of peace, the oxen, the rams, the goats, and the lambs. Just note that over and over, that progression of sacrifices. Verse 18, on the second day, Nethanel, the son of Zuar, leader of Issachar, presented an offering. He presented as his offering one silver dish whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull, one ram, one male lamb, 1 year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs, 1 year old. This was the offering of Nethanel, the son of Zuar. On the third day, it was Eliab, the son of Helon, leader of the sons of Zebulun. His offering was one silver dish whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb, 1 year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs, 1 year old. This was the offering of Eliab, the son of Helon. On the fourth day, it was Elizur, the son of Shedeur, leader of the sons of Reuben. His offering was one silver dish, whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull, one ram, one male lamb, 1 year old, for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs, 1 year old. This was the offering of Elizur, the son of Shedeur. On the fifth day, it was Shelumiel, the son of Jerushadai, the leader of the children of Simeon. His offering was one silver dish, whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull, one ram, one male lamb 1 year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs 1 year old. This was the offering of Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. On the sixth day, it was Eliasaph, the son of Deuel, leader of the sons of Gad. His offering was one silver dish, whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull, one ram, one male lamb 1 year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs 1 year old. This was the offering of Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. And on the seventh day, it was Elishama, the son of Amihud, the leader of the sons of Ephraim. His offering was one silver dish, whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull, one ram, one male lamb 1 year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs 1 year old. This was the offering of Elishama, the son of Amihud. By the way, at this point, you can get the feeling that the congregation itself would have been able to repeat the words of the sacrifices along with the priests as they were announced. It's interesting that at wedding feasts in the ancient Near East, one of the duties of the groom would be to stand up and read the entire list of those who were guests at the wedding feast and to list every gift that had been brought, as a way of honoring those who had brought gifts and of recognizing them as a part of the responsibilities of hospitality. And you have something sort of like that going on here, as all these gifts are recounted in detail. Well, let's go back to verse 54. On the eighth day, it was Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur, the leader of the sons of Manasseh. His offering was one silver dish, whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull, one ram, one male lamb 1 year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs 1 year old. This was the offering of Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur. On the ninth day, it was Abidan, the son of Gideoni, the leader of the sons of Benjamin. His offering was one silver dish, whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull, one ram, one male lamb 1 year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs 1 year old. This was the offering of Abidan, the son of Gideoni. On the tenth day, it was Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai, leader of the sons of Dan. His offering was one silver dish, whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull, one ram, one male lamb, 1 year old, for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs, 1 year old. This was the offering of Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. On the 11th day, it was Pagiel, the son of Ochran, the leader of the sons of Asher. His offering was 1 silver dish, whose weight was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb, 1 year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs, 1 year old. This was the offering of Pagiel, the son of Ochran. One more time now. Verse 78, on the 12th day, it was Ahira, the son of Anan, leader of the sons of Naphtali. His offering was 1 silver dish, whose weight was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb, 1 year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs, 1 year old. This was the offering of Ahira, the son of Anan. This was the dedication offering for the altar from the leaders of Israel when it was anointed. 12 silver dishes, 12 silver bowls, 12 gold pans, each silver dish weighing 130 shekels and each bowl 70. All the silver of the utensils was 2,400 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The 12 gold pans full of incense, weighing 10 shekels apiece, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. All the gold of the pans, 120 shekels. All the oxen for the burnt offerings, 12 bulls. All the rams, 12. The male lambs, 1 year old, with their grain offering, 12. And the male goats for a sin offering, 12. And all the oxen for the sacrifice of peace offering, 24 bulls. All the rams, 60. The male goats, 60. The male lambs, 1 year old, 60. This was the dedication offering for the altar after it was anointed. Now, when Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony from between the two cherubim. So he spoke to him. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he write its eternal truth upon our hearts. Two things I want you to see in this passage tonight. First, how it highlights for us the importance and function of giving in worship. Now, these people, you understand, have already given lavishly 3 times in their career in the wilderness. First, at Mount Sinai, they gave for the building of the golden calf, which gold was melted down, scattered into the water, and they were made to drink it. Then they gave lavishly for the building of the tabernacle. That's what's recorded for us through the whole end of Exodus, from chapter 24 and 25 all the way to Exodus 40. Now, as the tabernacle is completed, they are called upon to give lavishly once again for what? For the services of the tabernacle. There are certain things that need to be given so that the service of the tabernacle can be carried out. And there's a tremendous message here with regard to the function and the importance of giving in worship. These are not rich people. Yes, God has granted them plunder from the Egyptians, but these people have been slaves for 10 generations or more. So they're not people who have amassed tremendous amounts of wealth. And yet they are to show the value of God to them in their giving. That is, the giving of Israel is to be a visual picture of their value of God. Think of the things that have been given in that summary section as it's recorded in verses 84 to 88. This is a very expensive gift from the people of God. Yes, there were many, 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 many of them, but this is a very, very expensive gift that has been given on the occasion of the dedication of the tabernacle. And it's designed to be a picture of the value of God. Makes sense then, doesn't it, when God spares Jerusalem, the death angel, in the wake of David sinfully taking the census of the people. And Onan the Jebusite, offers David the field free on which he can make sacrifices to the Lord in thanksgiving for sparing the children of Israel. And what's David's response? I will not offer a sacrifice to the Lord that costs me nothing. Why? Because your offering is designed to visibly show how much you value the Lord. So an offering that costs you nothing does not adequately display your value of the Lord. Now, of course, Jesus himself tells a poignant story in Mark 12:42 of a very, very poor woman who gave, from an earthly perspective, very, very little money, which Jesus considered a very, very rich gift. You remember her. She was an impoverished widow who gave 2 small coins, widow's mites, we call them. And it was a very, very expensive gift because it was all that she had in this world. And Jesus thought it an appropriate expression of her value of God. Not because of the relatively small amount that she gave in comparison to the large gifts, but in light of the sacrifice that it entailed for her. She gave everything that she had. And if you study the New Testament over and over from the days of Jesus into the days of the apostles, the early church is generous and lavish in its giving because it values God. It's a very, very important principle for us, especially those of us who have been blessed with much bounty, because it's just a statistical fact that the more people have, the less they tend to give. And the less people have, when they are consecrated to the Lord, the more generous they tend to be in our giving. That should not be so of us. The Lord has given much of us, and we ought, out of hearts filled with gratitude, to give much to Him. There's the first thing I want you to see. The second thing is this. Look at verse 89. Because I want you to see something of the blessing that the children of Israel were receiving in this God. There's no way that their gifts could outgive God. Yes, they gave an expensive gift to God, but think of the gift that God had given in Himself to the children of Israel. Moses walks into that tent of meeting and he sees the Ark of the Covenant. Now that Ark reminds him immediately of 4 blessings that God is to His people. The first blessing is this: God is their King. The Ark, God says, is the place from which He reigns. It's like His throne in Israel. That's why later in the time of David, David's throne will be right where the Ark is located. It's a visible picture of God's reign in Israel. And so when Moses goes in and sees that Ark of the Covenant, he's seeing a visible reminder that God is Israel's king. What greater blessing than could there be than for a people to have God as their king? What a gift God had given. What a gift the children of Israel had received in God serving as their king. But the second thing I want you to see is this. The Ark of the Covenant would have reminded Moses that God was not only the king of Israel, he was the teacher of Israel. Because what was inside the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments. And what were the Ten Commandments but the loving Heavenly Father's household instruction to His family? Where as a father, He kindly and tenderly teaches His people the way of communion with Him. How do you live in communion with the living God? Let me give you my instruction, the family law. And so Moses beholds that Ark of the Covenant and he's reminded not only is God king, but God is the teacher of Israel. And as he remembers the Ten Commandments, he also remembers that God is designed himself to be the great delight of Israel. That's the third thing. What is the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. There is to be nothing else in the world that you value above me, that you worship beside me or instead of me, that you delight in more than me. I am to be your delight. I give myself so that you can delight in me. And so Moses goes into that tent and he's reminded of God who is king, God who is teacher, God who is delight. And then finally, he's reminded of the God who provides. And it hits him right between the eyes, doesn't he? Because on top of that Ark of the Covenant, there is a mercy seat. And that mercy seat pictures the gracious provision of God for the forgiveness of His people's sin so that they can fellowship with Him and glorify and enjoy Him forever. And that mercy seat, what it pictures, will be fulfilled in the one who was himself the mercy seat of his people, who was himself the propitiation of the sins of his people, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of that loving Heavenly Father, given in grace and love and mercy by that Heavenly Father so that we could fellowship with him forever. And so Moses is reminded something of the gift, of the blessing, of the benediction that God is on his people as he looks at the mercy seat and he's reminded that God is king, God is teacher, God is our delight, and God is our merciful provider of salvation by grace, which is through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for repeating it over and over in our ears so that we see how precise and rich you are in your provision for all our needs. Grant, O God, that we would respond to your grace with lives of joyful, humble, diligent, bold gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.